Hello, happy Thanksgiving 2020. I'm sure many of you are wondering what is there to be thankful for this year. And I'm sure there were many people who are wondering the same thing near the end of the U.S. Civil War when then President Abraham Lincoln gave a proclamation for the National Day of Humility, Prayer, and Giving Thanks to God. In his proclamation, Lincoln wrote this. He said, "In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, no human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things, such as wealth, strength, industry, harvest, and health found in the nation. These are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as the day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." That was Abraham Lincoln's proclamation for Thanksgiving Day, given near the end of the Civil War. So to not find anything for which to be thankful this year would be to look very narrowly at this year. Putting this pandemic in perspective of previous ones in history, you may find some good reasons to be thankful. Not that long ago, we knew precious little about infectious diseases or what causes them to spread. We could also look at the good that has come or will possibly come from such a challenging year for us. How we've grown, changed, maybe we're challenged to grow up a little bit or depend upon God a little more or prayed a little more. We're encouraged to take a hard look maybe at the important things in life, etc., etc. But even so, we are still in the storm, aren't we? We're still in the storm. We're still in the middle of a pandemic with lots of unknowns and lots of struggles ahead. The year 2020 is just going to roll into the year 2021. And I know many of us are tired, exhausted, and reaching our stress limits. And although we may find and should find reasons for which to be thankful this year, we do not dismiss the grief that is experienced by so many this year due to the pandemic. It's hard to be grateful when you're in the middle of the storm. But being grateful could help, especially when we not only feel the feeling of gratitude, but actively express our gratitude to God, who, despite all appearances, holds all things together in Christ. For it is God who continues to give us all good gifts. So let us now pray to God. God, you are the giver of all good and perfect gifts. And we first of all thank you that we don't have to feel cheerful or perfectly all put together today in order to offer you our thanks. For as many of us know, life could be worse for us, and it most certainly is for so many. So in the middle of the storm of pandemic, grief, loss, uncertainty, and chaos of nation and soul, in the middle of it all, we once again approach your throne of grace with our offering of thanksgiving this year. God, you are good, you are loving, you are kind, and we praise you in the storm. We thank you, and we count our blessings today, trusting in your provision and help. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And the scripture reading I want to look at today is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I know not every Christian tradition in America has the practice of gathering together on Thanksgiving Day for worship and prayer, but in Reform circles and churches, it has been a common thing to do every year, every Thanksgiving. And so I think it stems from our theology, our understanding of all of life, how it ought to be lived as a life of thankfulness to God. According to our own confessions, we follow the Ten Commandments, we keep the law, and we trust God and do good for others, not as a way of earning our favor with God or getting on God's good side, and certainly not a way of trying to manipulate God into giving us good things or the things that we demand. No, we follow God's law, we are obedient to Him, and we trust Him and serve others out of our own gratitude and thankfulness for all that God has done for us. That is gratitude for God's deliverance from sin and condemnation through Christ, His only Son. Just like the Israelites received the law after they left Egypt through the Red Sea, we are saved. We are saved, and then we are given the commands as a rule of living a life of gratitude to God, a life pleasing to God, who created us, who redeemed us, who's still with us. Some call this thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. All the good we do is a way of saying, "Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for saving me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, God, for providing the things that I need. Thank you, God, that you woke me up this morning and I'm alive and I'm healthy and maybe I've got family around me or maybe I've got a warm house or apartment to live in. Thank you, God." It only seems fitting to me that we would thank God on a day that has been set aside by our nation as a day of giving thanks. After all, who are we thanking? Having an emotion of gratitude within us is one thing, but usually gratitude has an object other than itself. So traditionally, God has been the object of our thanksgiving. And for many Christians anyway, prayers and other expressions of thanksgiving are directed toward God on this day. And that's what today is for, giving thanks to God. It's therefore very fitting and appropriate for us to worship and to offer our thanks to God today. Well, in the Gospel of Luke, gratitude is squarely linked to faith. Gratitude and faith are linked together. Faith and gratitude go hand in hand. It's simply part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple. True saving faith expresses itself in a life of gratitude, not just a word here and there, not just a one-time thank you, God, but a lifetime of gratitude. The passage we read is about Jesus healing the 10 men with leprosy, and it's part of a larger passage where Jesus is teaching his followers about what it means to live and work in the kingdom of God. Well, earlier in chapter 17, the disciples asked Jesus for more faith. And Jesus basically tells them, it's not the size of your individual subjective faith that's really important. What matters is the size of your God. How big is the God that you worship and love and give thanks to? In verse 6, he tells them, "If you had the faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted into the sea,' and it will obey you." It's the object of your faith that is important. God, who is able to do all things, not the amount of faith that we can try to muster up within our own selves or our own hearts. God is the one who can do all things. So Jesus then teaches his disciples about doing their duty as servants of the kingdom. One wouldn't expect a master to say thank you to a slave when the slave just did what they were supposed to do or what they were told to do. And so too, Jesus says in verse 10, when you have done everything that you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. You see, Jesus is getting at our attitude of gratitude here. So often we can become so jaded in life, and our attitude's bent, especially this year perhaps. Some people simply expect to get things handed to them. They think life owes them something, and if they don't get it, they'll be grumpy and complain. And if they do get what they want, they'll just say, oh yeah, this is what I had coming to me anyway, I deserved this. But the attitude Jesus teaches is that you should feel blessed and honored simply to serve the kingdom without expecting any thank yous or any rewards. When you serve, you are simply doing your duty, and God deserves our total thanks and loyal obedience without any special rewards, for He is worthy of it. God is worthy of it. Doing good throughout our lives is a duty of gratitude because of what God has done for us in Christ. We must not forget the depths from which we have come, the darkness into light, from being dead in our sins and our transgressions to eternal life, from the dominion of darkness and being brought into the kingdom of the Son. We have been transferred into the kingdom of God by God's grace alone. We don't deserve to serve in the kingdom. We don't deserve to be there, to have it given to us. We get to serve. We get to serve in the kingdom. Praise be to God. And that's a lesson all the followers of Jesus should learn well this year. We get to serve. We get to love one another. We get to reach out to others and minister to others in need. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, called Pharisees, once asked Jesus in verse 20 when the kingdom of God would come. And so Jesus told them this. He says, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is in your midst. It's among you. This is what the grateful Samaritan realized after he had been healed of leprosy by Jesus. The kingdom of God was in his midst. It was standing right in front of him. Thankfulness and praise was his fitting response to being healed by God's merciful grace and the presence of Jesus Christ. For the presence of Jesus was the presence of the kingdom of God in their midst. Then in verse 11, it says, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee when 10 men who had leprosy met up with him. The 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, as they were supposed to do. They were staying socially distant so as not to spread the disease, right? And they called out to Jesus from the distance, saying, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And they recognized that God's help could come through this man, Jesus. They recognize the authority of Jesus to heal. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And then Jesus simply tells them to go show themselves to the priests. And verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't even get to the priest. As they were going away, as they turned around from Jesus and started walking, they were cleansed. Jesus didn't turn anyone away. He continued to minister to all who would come to him for healing, for deliverance, for salvation. Now, I don't imagine that they had gotten very far before they realized that they were healed, because it says, as they went, they were cleansed. And they must have had some level of faith, even as small as a mustard seed, first to approach Jesus and believe that he could heal them, and then to turn from Jesus and to go to the priests as Jesus told them to do. Faith and obedience are seen in all 10 of them, but only one of them, when he was healed, came back, verse 15, praising God in a loud voice and throwing himself at the feet of Jesus and thanking God. Only one of them came back. In verse 16, it says that the one man came back and thanked Jesus with reckless abandon. He throws caution to the wind, dismisses the old nature of having to keep distance from everybody and being isolated, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet, thanked him because he knew that he was healed. He knew that he was healed. And it says, very interestingly, it says he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan, that hated people group for the Jews of that day. The Samaritans didn't even care about God or the things of God, so they thought. You see, this was the despised group, the enemy. I'm sure they voted for the other guy, too. Well, just the idea of a Samaritan getting help from Almighty God in the first place was shocking enough in this story. And then here, Jesus gives the Samaritan a special blessing, too. Rise and go, your faith has made you well. Rise and go, your faith has made you well. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus asks. The man's faith and gratitude went hand in hand. Yes, even the person from that country, or the person that you hate, or the person who talks funny to you, or that person who feels rejected and alone, Jesus welcomes all who would come to him in faith. Yes, even this Samaritan recognized the kingdom of God in its midst, when so many of the religious leaders of Jesus' day didn't see it, when many of his own disciples didn't get it. Even this foreigner from this hated group, from the enemy group, could recognize the presence of the kingdom of God right there. The presence of Christ was there on that borderline of Galilee and Samaria. God's power, his grace, his healing knows no national boundaries. In the midst of the storm of leprosy, Jesus heals. But not everyone was thankful. Gratitude, or expressing our appreciation to God for all that he's done for us in Christ and throughout our lives, gratitude helps us. I think it practically helps reorient our attitudes and helps us when we are in the midst of the storm of life. Whether that's a sickness, an illness, struggling with cancer, or struggling with parental issues, or struggling with your children, whatever your storm happens to be, I believe gratitude and having an attitude of gratitude can help us, can help reorient our attitudes. Today we count our blessings and acknowledge our dependence upon God, even for the very air that we breathe. But how easy it is to take God's blessings for granted and just keep walking like the 9 healed lepers did without returning to give thanks. Gratitude, giving thanks, helps turn our attitudes away from always thinking about what we are owed in this life or what we deserve or what others need to give us. And instead, we recognize all that God has granted to us already by his mercy and his grace toward us. Stuff we don't deserve, stuff we didn't certainly earn. And most of us, I suppose, could probably acknowledge today that we have more than we need, even if we don't have what we want. Most of us, we could probably acknowledge that we have more than we need, even if we don't have all that we want. And maybe having enough is good enough. Good enough to thank God for. I hope that you too are able to find reasons to be thankful today and to express your thanks to the living God of all there is, the God of all good and perfect gifts. May it be so. Would you please join me in prayer? Praise and thanksgiving be to you alone, Lord our God. You are to be praised and worshiped because you are holy, you are sovereign, you are almighty. You are the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Father in heaven, we give thanks for life and the experience that life brings us. We thank you for our joys and even for our sorrows and trials, failures that cause us to grow and mature. Above all, we thank you for the hope we have in Christ, that we find fulfillment and redemption in him. We praise you for our country, Lord, its beauty, the riches it has for us, the gifts it showers on us. We thank you for your peoples, the gift of languages we speak, the variety of people that we have, the cultural heritage we cherish. Enable us to use these things for the good of the human race and to bring glory to you. On this Thanksgiving Day, Lord, We thank you for your holy word and the truth that is given to all who would read it and study it. We thank you for the guidance that's found in it, for help from it, and for the power that is through it. We pray for those with ungrateful hearts and sour attitudes today, Lord, that they too would turn and throw themselves at the feet of Jesus with hearts full of gratitude for what God has done and continues to do in our world. We're thankful for work, Lord, for jobs and careers, and at the same time we remember so many who need jobs, and those who are underemployed, and those who are employed in jobs they do not enjoy. Lord, help us all to find meaningful and purposeful work to do. We're thankful for our schools too, Lord, for Christian and public. We thank you for curious minds you have given us and the ability to search out truth, to research, to study, to debate, to engage, and to discuss. We are also thankful for the Holy Spirit and the gift of discernment. Bless our schools, Lord, and our teachers and staff during these challenging days. We're thankful for families you've placed us in. Thank you, Lord, for parents and grandparents and their loving care, wise counsel, and good Christian examples. We're thankful for health and strength, and we lift before you those among us who struggle with health and need your healing even today. We do pray for an end to the spread of the coronavirus and for an effective vaccine. For those working the front lines in health care and those who work with the public or in public office, we pray. Heal our land, O Lord. Heal us from a physical virus and from a virus of disunity and greed and violence and pride. Forgive us our pride, O Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for the harvest, for enough food to eat, for farmers, for warm places to sleep, and for clothes to wear. Today, Lord, we remember that you are the giver of all good and perfect gifts, that you sustain us with an abundance of supplies and crops. And we pray for our local and global neighbors who do not have enough today, for those who will go to bed hungry tonight or lonely and cold. We pray for soup kitchens and food banks and secondhand stores in our own community who often work with your church to meet many needs in our community. We thank you, Lord, for our church. We pray that we would truly be a community of grace, love, hope, and peace, loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves. We pray for your provision in the many areas of ministry that take place here, and that you would give us wisdom as we continue to carry out the work of Christ in our community during these days, the work of making disciples of all nations and teaching them to obey all that you've commanded. It is in the name of Jesus we pray and give thanks. Amen. I do hope and pray that your Thanksgiving will be blessed by Almighty God and that we all would share in the experience of the rich inheritance of the Holy Spirit as we live and love and serve. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Amen, and God bless you.